Hey, Church Home, this is John, one of our pastors here at a church we all love so much and so grateful to be here with you today. If you don't know me, my name is John Smith, married to my wife Rose for 22 years. We have 10-year-old, just turned 10-year-old twin boys, Elgin and Reagan, and you'll hear a little bit more about them today. But so good to be with you and have a message I want to share with you during these amazing times that we're living through, and so grateful to be a part of this community for me for the last 27 years. And love our church, love what God is doing, love what we get to be a part of. And so why don't we go to Scripture today, and we'll get right into this message. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start there, just five verses. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. And then go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, and read 6 verses. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. This is Jesus talking. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. These are the words of Jesus. Let me pray for you, Jesus. Thank you today for our church. Thank you for these moments we get to share and spend. God, I thank you right now across America and around the world. You are with all the families of Church Home. Are you with all of us? Wherever we find ourselves or whatever situations and difficulties and challenges we might be facing, Jesus, we thank you that you're with us and you're for us and you're helping us. And God, thank you today. Thank you for these words that we share, Lord, that may they be encouragement to our souls. We've never needed more encouragement than these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at these verses, and we'll get in here to Matthew 10 in just a moment, but I was thinking, it was about 3 weeks ago now, my boys turned 10, and for 10 years, my wife and I tried to have children, and we actually lost a baby at one point in pregnancy, and then the boys were born in 2010, so about 3 weeks ago, they turned 10, and I've been thinking a lot about how 10 years goes by so fast, and all the parents know what I'm talking about. When the boys were born, and it's a day, obviously, for any parent that you never forget. And Elgin came first, and he reminds his brother every single, almost daily, that he's the oldest child. In fact, he told me the other day, Daddy, my favorite minute of every year is the minute I'm older than my brother. So that's what we're dealing with. But I remember when Elgin came out, and I was told in biology class that children, when babies come out, their eyes are sealed shut for a little while. Elgin came out, eyes wide open, looking at the doctor, looking at the nurses, looking at the world, like, hello world, I'm here. And I followed him over, I had the camera running, and I run over to him, and he's in the bath, and they're washing him off, and he's just looking around and not crying, no peep, looked pumped for life. And behind me I hear, here comes the next one. So I turn around, and out comes Reagan. And Reagan, with his big old noggin like his father, comes out into the world, eyes sealed shut, arms out, screaming like a baby should. And so right from the beginning, you have two boys, very different experiences. And thinking about them in the last 10 years and how much of their life has sort of mirrored those first moments and their personalities and sort of how they have processed through life, and thinking about where we're at as in the world today. And you know, when God created you and he created me, he created who you really are. He didn't create the you that would be formed by society or formed by culture. He created the you that only he knows. And thinking of my boys at 10 years old, you know, the job of a parent is to constantly raise your child to be the child that God created, not the child that I'm going to create, not the child that I want them to be. but to oversee the process and the growing up into being who God created them to be. And we know there's challenges there. We know it's not always easy. And Lord knows I lose my emotions sometimes. I have a very highly emotional child and a child who's kind of quiet like his father. And with both of them, there's challenges and things, but my job as a parent is to see them for how God sees them, for who they really, really are. And looking in 2020, and you realize that all of us have a narrative that if we're not careful, we have created in our own life. I'm 45 years old, and looking back on 45 years, I wonder how many times I have bought into my own narrative, to who I thought people wanted me to be, or who I was striving to be outside of God's grace. And I've kind of had to come face to face with that personally in my own life, and then looking at my kids and what kind of life am I raising them to be, and what kind of young men am I raising them to be. And I don't want to be a product of my own narrative. I want to be the me, the real me that God created, because the best you is the real you, and the best me is the real me, not the one that culture has created or education has created. It's scary when you look at media or social media today. They even have formulas for social media that will send you what fits the narrative they think that you are living under. And it's to that narrative that Jesus comes here in Matthew 10. And Matthew 10, 34 is one of those passages that preachers don't like to talk about, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. It comes right into your living room. It's very personal, and it seems to be contrary to what even other scriptures would say, like honor your father and your mother and it'll go well with you. And here's Jesus talking, and he says these words that are hard to wrestle with. He says, "Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." And then he goes in and starts talking about how families will be divided. Now, Scripture interprets Scripture, so we know looking at Scripture that God is not saying that we're at war with our families. Your family is not your enemy. What he is saying is if you put anyone ahead of Jesus, anyone ahead of him, then you're not actually following him. And so he comes right to, and here's Jesus coming to the narrative of our life. He comes right to the most intimate part of your life. Hashtag family is everything. Well, to Jesus, it's hashtag Jesus is everything. And then that affects all of our other relationships. So here's Jesus coming right to it, and it gets very, very personal. In a world where I am first, it's my rights, it's my freedoms, it's my relationships, it's my stuff, he came to the most intimate part of who I am. And he says to me and he says to us, you're not called to love family more than me. You're not called to love the narrative you've created, the stability you've created. I want to talk today, and I say all of that to say my title, and I'll steal a little bit from Judas' themes that he's been talking about. I'm going to title this Jesus on Losing. Jesus on Losing. Now, that sounds really discouraging, but stay with me. In a world where I am first, my rights, my freedoms, he came to the most intimate part of me. And he says, if your family is more important than me, now let's just read Matthew 10 for what it says. If your family is more important than me, then you're not worthy of me. And if you try to hold on to your life, if you try to hold on to your security, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, right there, you find it in that space. And I do wonder how many of us in these crazy days we're living in are actually finding who we really are in the person of Jesus. And by the way, the only way to find out who you really are, and I'm speaking to 7 billion people across the world, the only reason for those 7 billion people, the only way for those 7 billion people to find out who they really are is to find themselves in the person of Jesus. And we'll talk about that today. Matthew 10, and here we are. It's a passage we don't like to talk about. And here we go right to the family and the intimacy of that. But can I say this? I've spent my whole adult life teaching high school and college students. Did middle school students for a while, too, and I love middle school students. They will challenge you tremendously, so I've enjoyed that. But I've been teaching young people my whole life. I have never seen a generation like this. I've never seen a generation more willing to give up their life, more unwilling to live a safe, happy, comfortable life. Now, of course, that's not all the way true in every situation. But I have been compelled in these last 5 to 10 years by watching young people who are so interested in living a life outside of themselves. Jesus starts off this passage and he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to bring security for you. When it says he desires all men to be saved, which we'll go to in a minute, he desires all men to be safe. He just says, I desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But Jesus says in Matthew 10, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, which is to say, I came to be the only thing that's going to satisfy you, the only thing that's going to bring you life. And here we have a generation who's not interested in peace for the sake of peace. We don't want peace because we want safety. We don't want peace because we want security. Peace is something that comes in the midst of a storm. Peace is something that comes when everything doesn't make sense and confusion is running rampant in society. And in that space, Jesus' peace comes in and gives you security in the middle of unstable times. Peace doesn't replace instability in the sense of the times in which we're living in, but God alone, through the person of Jesus, comes and brings peace to your soul and peace to your emotions and peace to your heart that nobody else can give, and you can't give it to yourself. That's the peace that God brings. And when it uses this word peace in Matthew 10, it's speaking of a peace that we all want. We want peace in our money. We want peace in our, we want a peace that gives us security that nothing bad's gonna happen. And God said, that's not the peace I bring. I bring a peace that when you're following me, I'll give you stability. When you're following me, I'll give you life and life more abundantly. As you're following me, I'll give you peace even when everything around you, the storms are raging around you, and yet in your heart, God comes to bring peace. And by the way, there is a generation that God is raising up. That's the kind of peace they're interested in. They want Jesus to be Jesus, the kind of peace that settles your heart, even when your heart is wanting to rage with fear. Sorry, I'm reading what I wrote down. Not a peace contingent upon circumstances all lining up for my benefit. He doesn't bring an American peace. He doesn't bring an economic stability peace or a my family is all put together kind of a peace. He brings a peace that comes right into the middle of your real circumstances and situations. That's the peace he brings. How did Jesus lose his life? He tells us we have to lose our life. Well, how did he lose his life? He laid it down for everybody, for those not looking for him, for those who didn't think they needed him. That's the people Jesus laid his life down for. Jesus lost everything so that we could gain him. Jesus lost everything so we could gain peace in him. Not peace in circumstances, but peace in him. For those who love more family, more intimately than they loved him. But I don't get to hold on to this life. My son came to me. My boys play tennis. And we had a tennis match a couple years ago. And this is a little awkward for me because my children will watch this message. And so I'll say this carefully. But during that match, and my son, he's a fighter, and I love him so much. My Elgin is a fighter, and he gets after it, and he got a little too emotional, and he kind of lost control of his emotions a little bit, which what child has not done that? You're looking at somebody who's very capable of that. And so after the match, and he had lost, and he was upset, and we're having a conversation, he says to me, he goes, Daddy, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like this. And I said, son, make no mistake, Jesus made you like this. So I want you to be what God has made you to be. We're gonna learn, I said, together, son, we're gonna learn how to control this. But you are exactly who God made you to be. I've thought about it. Imagine if I had, and I'm very capable of it, and I'm sure I have given him this perception before, said, yeah, son, you gotta stop doing that. You gotta stop being like that. But God has made us how he has made us, and in this situation, here he is. And he's a fighter. He's a fighter. And I'll tell you this story about 4 years. It's actually a hard story for me to tell. About 4 years ago, I had the boys with me. They're in the back seats, just the three of us. And we were in a particular shopping complex. And we were driving by this shop when there were some young people out in front of it holding Black Lives Matter signs. And the week before at that shop, a black man had been racially profiled. He was a social worker, and he was just there observing a mom and a child meeting together. And he was a social worker just assisting this whole thing. He hadn't ordered anything because he was just there for them, and somebody called the police. The police came and made him leave the store, profiled him, made him leave the store, and kind of created a something in the media. So here's these young people a week later holding these signs. We had gone to the store, we're driving down, my boys are 6 years old. And I'm not really thinking, but I mean, I had some emotions in my heart, and I rolled down my window and I said to the guys holding the signs, I said, "Hey, thank you for what you're doing, we're with you." And they waved and said, thanks so much. I rolled down the window, rolled up the window, not thinking too much about it, and drove off. And I got to the stoplight, and my son asked me, he goes, "Dad, what was that?" And so very six-year-old language, I tried to explain kind of what happened and why Daddy did that. And from the back seat, I heard words that I'll never forget, and they make me emotional every time. And my son Elgin, my fighter, this kid who will not take no for an answer, he says to me, "Daddy, I'm glad you're white. It makes me feel safe." And I heard those words, and I didn't know how to respond, and I didn't say anything, but tears started coming down my face, and he didn't see them. And I thought, oh my goodness, my son is half Korean and half me. My wife is Korean, and so he's this child with multiple cultures and opportunities, and he has quite a life. And I hear these words, "Daddy, I'm glad you're white. It makes me feel safe." And you think, God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I was thinking about this verse the other day, and I was remembering the story. If we could change that word saved to safe, that wouldn't be an appropriate way to say it. God does not desire all men to be safe. He desires all men to be saved from their sins, to be forgiven. But the scripture in 1 Timothy goes on and it says, and God desires all men to be saved. We have sometimes changed that to, he wants me safe and secure and protected. That's not what it means. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what's the truth? That scripture goes on and talks about the mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. The truth is there's a mediator. The truth is there's a God-man. The truth is there's someone who has taken our place. And if he's taken my place, and I think it's, like, let me look down here. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." When I realize that the grace of Jesus, who loved me so much, loved this white man in America so much, and with that love, that complete love, that relentless love, that love that never fails, I am complete in him. I can't get away from him. Everything that I am is because of him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And with that great love, he has loved me. And if he loves me that completely, then he loves every person in the world completely. He died for everybody who would ever live. When Jesus went to the cross with no guarantees that everyone would love him back, he took the sins of every single person, past, present, and future. Anything that would ever be done in selfishness and sin, Jesus took it upon himself. That is the truth, that he took that space between that impossible gap between me and God. Jesus bridged that gap so that I could know his life and his grace and his love and his mercy. If that's true for me, please understand the heart of Church Home. That is the great desire we have for the world. When we say Black Lives Matter or Indigenous Lives Matter or other groups matter or whatever it is, marginalized people that have been pushed down in the systems of this country and in society, when we say that, it's because of the heart of Jesus that rises up and says, we want people to know the same freedom and the same love and the same life that I know should be experienced by everybody in our world. And nobody is exempt from God's love. And everybody needs to know, just because systems and society and culture has pushed them down, there's a Jesus in heaven that took their place. That is the truth. That is the knowledge of the truth that we live from. So I have to lose myself. I have to lose myself. I have to lose my rights. I was set free, not so I could be free, but so that I could show everybody else how free they can be in the person of Jesus. My freedom is not for me. My freedom is for others. My security is not for me, it's for others. My salvation is not for me, it's for everybody else to have it too. And I will not hoard that. So when my son says to me, "Daddy, I'm glad you're white. It makes me feel safe." How does a six-year-old know that? I didn't teach him that. How does he understand that at 6 years old? My son who came out of the womb, eyes wide open. He saw things. He watched. Dare say he probably learned things from his father that I don't know what they were, but I'm sure something in this unconscious part of me that gave him the impression that he was safe because of the color of his skin, or he was safe because he's with me. But I have to say to my child, and now they're 10 and I'm raising them up, and there will come a day where they will leave my house and they will not live safe lives. They will live lives for others. I'm not going to live a safe life. Church home is not called to a safe existence. We're called to lose ourselves for the sake of the gospel of Jesus, the truth about Jesus that has set the world free. That's what we're called to. I wasn't saved to be safe. I was saved to follow him. If I hold on to my life and my security and my position and my power and my influence, if I hold on to that, my life slips out of my fingers. But if I lose myself in Jesus, I find freedom I never could have had. I find invigoration I never could have had. This is the church that we are. This is the life that we're called to in the life of following Jesus. If you lose yourself for my sake, you find yourself. And if I could speak to our high school students and our college students and the young people of our church, you go ahead. Don't live safe lives. You do what God has called you to do, and you follow him into the streets, and you follow him into the nations, and you follow him into the systems that are broken, and you be redemptive in those spaces because of the love, of the great love of Jesus in which he's loved you. Let that love so fill your heart that it has to pour out in the lives of so many. And that is the church that we are. He never picks me up. He never rescues me so that I feel safe and secure. He rescues me because he loves me. And he wants to set me up. And Jesus is always going to the marginalized. He's always going to the hurting. He's always going to the one in pain. That's who he is. And that's who his church must be. And that is who we are. Jesus, help us to be that kind of a church. Jesus, help us to be those kind of followers. Jesus, help me to be that kind of dad, to be that kind of husband, to be that kind of a follower of Jesus. And church home, that is who we are, and that is where we're going. Jesus on losing? Nah, with him you don't lose. But we may not win the way we thought we win. We win when others win. I don't win when I win. Church home, we're gonna win when millions of people come to faith in the Jesus who has laid his life down and took our place. And he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth of how much he loves us with so great a love. And that is who he is. And church home, that is who we are. Let me pray for you. Jesus, today we thank you so much. Thank you so much for your great love in which you've loved us. And Lord Jesus, help us. Help the people of Church Home, help the families of Church Home, help the moms and the dads and the young people of Church Home to come to this place again and remind ourselves of how much you love us. And Jesus, if you love us that much, you must love the world that much. So Lord, help us to be a community of people, to be a community of faith, or to be followers of you who truly lay our life down and lose ourselves because of how much you love us. And Lord Jesus, thank you today. If you're here today and you're watching, the greatest miracle and the greatest victory we have in our church is just when one soul, in fact, the Bible says, angels throw a party every time one soul, one person, how much one person means to Jesus, when you put your faith in him, when you simply agree to the God who sent his son to die on your behalf and to resurrect on the third day, and he defeated death, hell, and the grave so you could have life. And by simply believing that, the Bible teaches us that you are forgiven, that you are saved. And the truth is now you experience all of the freedom and the love, and it's overwhelming, and then you get to pass that on to others. And if you're here today and you're watching, wherever you are, maybe you're in a church at home in another nation outside of the United States or in somebody's home, or you're on a Zoom call watching, and we love you so much. Wherever you're at, I'm gonna count to three, and when I get to three, if you wanna put your faith in Jesus, you can just put your hand up right where you're at, even that cafe with your headphones on. You can put your hand up, put it right back down, and I believe, we believe together that you are saved, that you belong to Jesus. One, two, three. You put your hand up, put it right back down. Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for so great a salvation. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters today who've put their faith and put their heart in you. Lord, they believe you, believe your work, believe, Lord, your sacrifice. And God, we thank you today. Thank you for invigorating them. Thank you for filling them with life and love and your mercies today. Jesus, we love you so much. So grateful today. God, we make a commitment in our heart. God, I'm not going to hold on to my life. I'm not going to hold on to my rights. I'm not going to hold on to my reputation. Lord, we're going to lay it all down for the sake of knowing you so that others would come to that same understanding and that same knowledge and that same faith. Jesus, we love you today. Thank you for your church. Thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Church Home.